You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to First Things First. Hope you had a nice weekend. Coach, nice to have you here this morning.
My friend, how are you?
Good to see you.
It's been too long, Coach.
All right, Kevin, did you get recognized at all after your first 2 days on the air? Was it tough being in that little town in Connecticut, getting around?
Town of Connecticut. Oh, yeah.
I live in Connecticut. I live in New York.
Yeah. You live in New York.
And I did not get recognized, no.
Well, I'm
but
wrong
also,
on that
I rarely have this hairstyle, so
maybe. Oh, that's what it was. It's usually
a different look.
We got a lot to get to today. Where will we find the time to fit it all in? Zion learned why they call him the king last night. LeBron, that is. Giannis and Harden ramping up their war of words. We got to start this morning with a little football on a Monday. Here we go. Tom Brady, Julian Edelman, and Jimmy Kimmel were all at a basketball game on Saturday. Sounds like the start of a joke. At one point, Edelman is seen saying he's coming back, to which Brady says, well, Brady says nothing. It's a little awkward. Later in the game, Edelman and Brady were seen FaceTiming former Patriot, current Titans coach Mike Vrabel. A little bit interesting there. And then on Sunday, Edelman capped off the weekend of recruiting by posting this. T-shirts for sale.
For sale, of course they
are. Of course he has to make some money. Begging Tom to stay. Begging.
JulianEdelman.com, America.
That's good. Salary cap, circumnavigation.
All this recruiting by Julian Edelman, you think it's helping or hurting bringing Tom
Neither.
Back?
I think there's nothing Julian can do. All
no
Julian
effect
can
whatsoever.
Do is what I do to Coach whenever I see him. I love you. You're my best friend.
It means absolutely nothing.
Because ultimately for Tom's going to hit free agency. They're not going to get this done before the start of free agency. Tom knows how much Julian loves him, and I'm sure Tom feels the exact same way towards Julian. But this is where the personal relationships go aside, the professional decisions come into play, and the Patriots are in such a tricky spot. Because, something occurred to me this weekend that I hadn't really thought about, which is, let's say the Patriots relent in their own personal negotiations and say, you know what, Tom's going to get a multi-year deal somewhere. If we don't offer him a multi-year deal, we're not going to get in the game. They are then putting themselves in a potentially more tricky position next year than they are this year, which would be, do we have to cut Tom Brady?
Right now,
they wouldn't be cutting him. Right now, Tom would be choosing to go elsewhere on his own, but you sign someone to a multi-year deal, you potentially get in a position where you have to cut the greatest player in the history of the league. Similar, remember, the Colts had to cut Peyton Manning. Now, you had justification for it. He had the neck surgery. He had the number one overall pick. But so I think that Edelman, it's nice to see Edelman there, and it's nice to see how close those two guys are, and it's nice to see Edelman hanging out with superstars and not ending the night arrested. But for Tom, I don't think Julian's going to be able to whisper enough sweet nothings into his ear to get him to take less than what he can get elsewhere, Coach.
So the Colts shouldn't have cut Peyton Manning. They shouldn't have let Peyton Manning go. They should have carried him and Andrew Luck, and things I think would have been differently. And that's something I believed in back then. Just like in this situation, New England shouldn't let Tom Brady go somewhere else. The best fit is for him to be there. It's the best thing for him. It's the best thing for New England short term. And look, next year is next year, or the year after next, the year after next. And they'll worry about that when the time comes. But the one thing I'll say about Bill Belichick is this is a guy who cut Bernie Kosar in Cleveland
and said he had diminishing. Because I'm not trying to date you, but people have no idea what Bernie Kosar meant to Cleveland in the mid-90s.
Well, Bernie is a guy who jerry-rigged the drafts, the supplemental drafts, so he could go to Cleveland. He was from Ohio. He was a hometown boy. He had done great things with the organization. And then at that point, Bill was a emerging head coach, but not incredibly successful. There was one winning season in the 5 years he was in Cleveland, and he cut him for Vinny Testaverde, but Vinny was actually hurt that first game, and I forgot who came in, but the guy who came in fumbled on his first snap and was returned for a touchdown. So that's just the way it went. But the main point is that he's not afraid to go against the
But
the
he grain. Cut him for Vinny Testaverde. There is no Vinny Testaverde backing up Tom Brady, and it's Tom Brady. I'm as great as Bernie Kosar is. What Tom Brady has meant to the league, the world, it's not just another great player that Belichick would be listing among a million to cut.
Why are you making a face?
Well, I mean, Bernie Kosar in Ohio at that point was it's not Tom Brady, but it's about as close as you can get in terms of someone who
means a lot to that city and to the organization.
And Bill had about this much legitimacy versus how much legitimacy he has now.
That's to me the bigger. There was a bigger discrepancy between how much cachet Bill Belichick had then and he has now than there was in love and affection for Kosar to Brady. Even if Brady's the greatest player of all time and Bernie Kosar is not close to that, Bill Belichick was Zach Taylor at the time. You know, I mean, and that's no disrespect to Zach Taylor, and maybe it's the best thing anyone's ever said about Zach Taylor. Like, he was just a guy. He was just a guy who had been on a successful staff elsewhere, who was trying to make his name as a head coach, and he had the temerity to do it then. Belichick knows he can do whatever he wants, Wilds. The question is, what will he be meddled with by Kraft, and will Brady's sentimentality, which is what I think Edelman's playing on, will that come into play here at all?
As a Patriot fan, it's very difficult for me because I feel like I'm in a two-front war. I'm trying, on this front, I've got pay Brady. I'm trying to petition the organization. And on this front, we've got stay Brady, what Edelman is doing. So, Coach, tell me where I should put my efforts or where we should put up the billboard. Are we trying to convince Brady or are we trying to convince the organization?
Well, it's interesting because a lot of fans want to say pay Brady, and there is this sentimentality about Tom. But one of the things that you love about Bill Belichick is he's willing to move on from guys. He's not willing to stay with a guy that he feels doesn't give the organization
I used to love that
chance.
About him.
Well, but it didn't fall Brady.
It's the call, being spoiled for years and years with winning. You know, now you get to pick and choose which Belichick you want, I guess. But if you're happy with what he's done, then you can't be unhappy if he makes this decision. And you got to trust that it's the right decision moving forward.
Time now for the best of the weekend, starting with the best performance. Russell Westbrook went off for 41 points, 8 boards, 5 assists to beat the Boston Celtics on Saturday. Nick, what do you think? A small ball unlocked a whole new Russ?
It's the best version of Russ that we've seen maybe ever, certainly in years. First month with the Rockets, 5 threes a game. December with the Rockets, 4 threes a game. In 2020, 2 threes a game. That's what's unlocked him. He's going to win Western Conference Player of the Month. Wilds doesn't care about Player of the Month awards unless Jason Tatum's winning them. I care about him immensely. He's going to win Player of the Month. He's been spectacular. That was a great basketball game. Celtics are the best team in the league at playing classic games and losing them. That was a great basketball game on Saturday night.
Hey, maybe Daryl Morey was actually onto something. Mm-hmm. On to the best rumor of the weekend now. Could Andy Dalton be heading to the Chicago Bears? According to a report, the two sides are talking. Coach, good fit? Dalton, Chicago?
I think it's an interesting fit. And at this point, you got to understand that everybody is talking. And especially coming off of the combine, so many people's reps have talked to so many other teams about potential fits, but it doesn't really mean anything yet. It'll start to ramp up here in the next couple weeks. I don't know if this is a dramatic upgrade for the Bears, but it's definitely an upgrade.
Everybody's talking, except for the Patriots and Brady. They oddly haven't talked yet.
I thought they can't talk.
Well, you can talk to
them. Well, they're all right. Quietly talking as they bump into each other at Starbucks.
Time now for the best intimidation of the weekend. Trae Young going for the nutmeg on Trevor Ariza there. Ariza had none of it. Gave Trey the forearm shiver. Things got testy, Wilds. What'd you see?
I thought this was totally fine. Trey Young has been nutmegging players since he got into the league. And Trevor Ariza said, you know what? Not me. By the way, here you go. Hi. Post game. Don't ever do that to me again. Everything is great, but also never do that to me again, okay? Oh, sure. It's all good now.
You know what Trey said to him right there? Okay, Boomer. Hey, man, okay. Get with it or get lost, old man. Why is he all mad? Listen, play
it's
better.
It's a fair play.
Which part? The nutmeg's a fair play.
So is getting a forearm.
I don't love this after the game. He grabs him. He tries to bully him.
I don't love it, but it's just...
Every time somebody a little bit younger hears something they don't like, it's okay, Boomer.
Okay, Boomer, yeah. Coach hears that from his parents, from his kids all the time.
No, they don't say that.
Back here, first things first. Look who's here. Vincent Goodwill.
What up, Vinny?
Good morning.
Good to see you, brother.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Talk some basketball.
Happy belated birthday, Jenna.
Thank you so much. So it was on Wednesday. So I woke up that morning. I was like, oh, I feel pretty good. You know, I'll tell you in a commercial break. This is not the time nor the place. Vince, the NBA's newest feud.
You did that, Vinny.
That's your fault. That's on you, Vinny. The newest feud between James Harden and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Unconventional rivals in a war of words, all stemming from the All-Star draft when Giannis said he wanted, quote, somebody that's going to pass the ball. In other words, not Harden. Well, Harden sat down with Rachel Nichols, and she asked him what he thought of Giannis's comment. Take a listen.
I don't see what the joke is. But I didn't even see it. And I don't pay attention to stuff like that. I just know none of them can mess with me. You know, when it's all said and done, you know, they'll appreciate it more. You know, but I wish I could just run and with 7 feet and run and just dunk. Like, that takes no skill at all. I gotta actually learn how to play basketball and how to have skill, you know? I take that any day.
Eek. Well, Giannis didn't take that as a joke or a slight or anything. What'd you make of what Harden had to say?
Well, I don't blame him for finally clapping back. James Harden's been the most disrespected all-time great of his era. He is the most disrespected player night in, night out by guys on TNT, by guys on this network, by guys on other networks, every day. The guy averaged 36 last year, averaged 35 this year, has won an assist title, and he's called a ball hog. He's done it with great players around him, without great players around him, but because he's never won a championship, people always take shots at him. So I don't blame him for clapping back. But his take is terrible. It's just an erroneous, awful take. We have had dozens, more than 100 seven-footers play in the NBA over the last 30 years, more than 250 if you go back for the history of the league. None of them have been able to do what Giannis can do. Giannis does not have an absurdly high vertical leap about league average. Giannis is not one of the fastest players in the league, slightly above league average. Giannis is strong, but he's not even close to the strongest player in the league. He has improved every single year. He has gone from a guy who his rookie season looked like he was totally out of sorts to a league MVP, to a guy who's about to win another league MVP by enhancing his skill, by working on his skill, and by proving how wildly skilled he is. People said, Vinny, this weekend, oh, Giannis responded to Harden's comments by dropping 41, 20, and 6. The big difference in that game was it was actually close, so he had to play a lot of minutes. He played 36 minutes. On the year, he's averaging 35, 16, and 7 per 36 minutes. He's as usually has his work done in 30 minutes. So it wasn't even that big of a game for him. So Giannis is an exceptional player, arguably the best player in the league. I understand why Harden's sick of people taking shots at him, but saying Giannis has no skill and just runs up and down the court is an absurdity to me.
Well, can we give a round of applause for two players actually admitting their truths and this not being buddy ball anymore? Like, that's the part that I appreciate.
You like this.
I love this.
Yeah.
We will never see these two in the finals against each other because Houston will never get there.
Oh, wow.
But on a level, here's the thing. James Harden is not criticized because of what he's not. He's criticized because of how he came up short in critical closeout games through his history in Oklahoma City and in Houston, plus the style in which he plays, which lends itself to a guy producing the way that he produces. So I agree with you basically on the premise of what you're saying, but people don't criticize him just to criticize him. When you're a historic player and James Harden is a historic player, he's come up short many more times than anybody this side of Karl Malone, okay? And when you're talking about Giannis, I will say this. There is no player, I think, in the history of this league, at least in modern history, that has made so many jumps in a short period of time. He went from a player who was a lottery pick but couldn't play. He turned into a rotation player. He turned into a starter. He turned into a point guard when Jason Kidd was his coach. And then he turned into an MVP. And
he
now,
answered every question along the way.
And now he should be the unanimous MVP. Like, you could make an argument that there should be nobody else that gets first place votes this season. You
what?
Can absolutely, if his team is going to win 70 games and he's the best defensive player in basketball and he's producing 30, 14, and 6 on a team with no other star,
you don't he think could LeBron be a United. One vote?
I said he could be. He should be. Like,
if you had a vote, you think he has a vote.
I have a vote. Yes, I have a vote.
He's been trying to buy that vote for 2 years now.
Yeah. I think
he sold the vote.
I think he'll come close to being unanimous MVP, and it'll be perfect. And I know we're going to talk about LeBron later. LeBron, once upon a time, against a 71 team with the unanimous MVP, beat him in the finals. Now he'll get to do that part two. But can I say one thing real quick, Wilds? The idea that I heard what Vinny said, and this is one of the narratives. Oh, it's nice that guys are now, but you know, not everyone's all buddy-buddy. This revisionist history of what the NBA once was, I'm so sick of it. You're from Detroit, right?
Absolutely.
Isaiah and Magic literally kissed before games, right?
And then they elbowed each other in the same game.
Because guys were dirtier, that's different. They did kiss, though, right? And Chuck and MJ gambled and golfed together and then battled in the finals. This idea that we're in a new era of guys being friendly, the older players say it because it glorifies their history. With the NBA guys have always been friendly with NBA guys, with rare exceptions. But these are two guys. Harden thinks he should have last year's MVP. He thinks Giannis should have 0 and that he should have 3 or 4. And he's staring at a world where Giannis is about to have 2 and he has 1 and it bothers him. It's just a bad take. It's saying Shaq wasn't skilled. Shaq was wildly skilled, particularly Orlando and early LA Shaq. People just see the physical domination and think that's the whole story there.
Do you think that this is also not a feud? Giannis is not firing back at Harden. Giannis is just out playing.
Want him to?
No, we have the sound. Can we roll the sound of Giannis and in response to Harden's comments about him?
He hasn't been back and forth. Like, I'm not that type of guy. I've never tried to take stabs at somebody. Maybe sometimes I might come out like that, but I'm definitely not. I'm just trying to do my job, which is win games and go back home to my family and my kids. Like, but at the end of the day, you know, if that's what he believes, that's what he believes.
So if that's a war of the words, that's the worst war I've ever heard in my entire life.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, Giannis got caught up in the moment joking with Shaq and those guys. Shaq right. started it saying he doesn't want Harden. He wants a guy who will pass. And Giannis went along with it in the All-Star draft. I think the more noteworthy thing is that James Harden finally said enough's enough. Like, I think whomever said something about him, Harden would have found a way to shoot an arrow. To me, it's silly that he shot an arrow at Giannis, who's not only one of the most likable players in the league, but his commentary is absurd.
Here's the thing. You can't say that. And I talked to Giannis before the start of the season, asking him about the whole MVP controversy. And he said, look, I'll never say that I'm a better player than James Harden. He can say that. His people can say that. I won't say that. He's always taken the high road. But Giannis is one of those guys who is honest. He'll answer whatever the question is. And I don't think he took any unfair shots at James Harden. It was a lighthearted atmosphere. But James Harden is a guy who, you said, feels disrespected by his peers who feel like, hey, if I controlled these possessions, if I played in this system, I would produce the same way this guy has.
Yeah, and they're all wrong, by the way. All those guys are wrong, but the disrespect is still there.
So, like, is this something or nothing? Is this going to turn into something?
Only if they meet in the finals.
That's it. And they only play twice this year because they're not going to meet in the finals.
I'm going to say it's a strong nothing.
Well, strong nothing.
Okay. Strong nothing.
Okay, for the idea that just because Vinny has a blood feud with the Rockets and the whole that they're drawing dead for the finals. Right now, they're, in my mind, the second most likely team to make the finals out of the West. In everyone's mind, the third best at worst. They have been on fire.
But you don't see them in the finals, Nick.
Do you want them
in the finals?
We don't see. Hold on. Say it again.
Do you see the Rockets in the finals?
No, I think the Lakers are going to make the finals.
Okay, what are we talking about? Third.
Because the idea that we...
It's not happening.
Do you think Milwaukee's going to make the final?
Yes.
Okay. So half the equation's there. The idea that we couldn't... That this is like...
Like you can't envision
that this is a feud between Harden and Trae Young where we know they're not going to meet in the finals is foolishness. The Rockets are... We absolutely have a chance to see this in the NBA Finals. I don't think it's the most likely outcome, but Vinny to just dismiss it and say the Rockets are never going to make
it. What's your chance?
18%.
Oh.
What? You asked.
18%.
Yeah. Give the Lakers 62, the Rockets 18.
Gotta take a break. On to our top story. Zion and the Pelicans in L.A. to take on LeBron. And this one lived up to the billing. Zion finished with a career-high 35 points, going 12 of 16 from the field. But King James was just too much, nailing the game-sealing three. He finished with 34-point triple-double. Here is LeBron James after the game.
Because you can't be a league MVP without team success and your teammates doing all the dirty work. So, you know, for me, I try to be an MVP every single night for our team on both ends of the floor, offensively and defensively, with my command, with my voice, with my approach. And if that results in an award, then so be it. But at the end of the day, that's an award for all of us because we all sacrifice every day.
All right, Vinny, what'd you make of what LeBron had to say?
It's campaign season, isn't it? That's what this
and
is.
He's campaigning.
It is campaign season, and I think LeBron is one of these guys who looks at it at his MVP trophy case and says, I have four, and maybe I should have five, or maybe I should have six, and I want to have this year's one.
Yeah, it's seven. He should have seven.
No, see, Nick, every time I give you a little bit of leeway,
I'll tell you.
Don't do it. No, let's not do that. But here's the thing. We can't change the arguments now for LeBron James because he plays with a guy named Anthony Davis, who is arguably a top five player in the game. When Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant got together, we said, oh, neither one of these guys can win MVP. And now all of a sudden we want to change the criteria because it's LeBron James. We have to be consistent in how we award, you know, LeBron or Steph or KD or whoever. We can't change the arguments a year after we just said, hey, you two historically great players, cancel each other
tier
out.
Tier one, Nick.
Except
tier one,
okay,
guys.
But so listen, first of all, let me make this clear. Giannis is the MVP. All right, LeBron has been unbelievable, but Giannis is the MVP. I actually agree with Vinny. I think Giannis maybe should be unanimous. LeBron should be a unanimous second. Like, there, to me, it's very clear 1-2. Three is a lot of argument. So I don't think LeBron is the MVP, at least with 25 games left in the year. But it is not a Steph KD situation. We wouldn't be changing the rules. We've had plenty of MVPs have a top five teammate on their roster. What we have not had is a guy who's already won MVP, joined the two-time reigning MVP. That's why they canceled each other out. Anthony Davis has how many MVPs? Just tell me. You have a vote.
Yes.
I don't. How many?
Zero.
Zero. Okay. So the idea that having, I mean, Shaq won an MVP when Kobe was ascending towards a top five status. LeBron won an MVP in Miami when D-Wade arguably was a top five player. Like Magic and Kareem both won MVPs together. The idea that you can't have a top five teammate and win MVP, I disagree.
The history doesn't matter. The history doesn't matter that Steph won one. It's where you are in terms of your game at that particular moment. It's not about how the voting happened before. That's a flawed argument.
Okay, you can say the history doesn't matter. The history, of course, matters. But listen, LeBron's not the MVP, but you're right about the campaign part. This matters to LeBron. LeBron, up until recently, was still upset that he didn't win Defensive Player of the Year in 2013. Mark Gasol won it. Mark Gasol was not even first team All-NBA defense, and yet he won Defensive Player of the Year. LeBron, up until recently, maybe still was upset that he was not the first ever unanimous MVP. He should have been in 2013, the same year he should have won Defensive Player of the Year, but Gary Washburn voted for Carmelo Anthony.
Chill out on Gary Washburn, that's my guy.
I like him too, but it was a ludicrous vote. Like, so these are awards that matter to him, and he made it clear in that statement, but he's not the MVP this year. As great as he's been, he's not the MVP this year.
So, Vin, could LeBron do anything to get your vote?
No.
Nothing?
No.
That's not true.
No.
I mean, if he scored 100 points a game, he would certainly get
100 points in a game or 100 points per game?
I'm just saying, I think he has to be able to do
body, something. I think body of work. Giannis would have to fall off the face of
the
earth.
No, let's say Giannis played at the same level.
Then he can't catch him.
You can't catch him. realistically, the same run that we're talking about with LeBron in 2012-13 is the same run that Giannis is on, except he's not playing with Chris Bosh and he's not playing with Dwayne Wade. He's playing with Chris Middleton, who's a very good player, having a very historical season.
There's nothing LeBron can do.
No.
Short of Giannis getting injured or something devastating happening, I agree with Vinny. But again, this is going to work out perfectly for LeBron. Because I think Giannis will be unanimous, and I think his team will win 70 games. And so we're going to have two unanimous MVPs on 71 teams, both of whom will have gone up against LeBron in the finals, and LeBron will have walked away with the title, will have walked away with finals MVP, and it'll be because he's probably not going to catch MJ with the six rings. It's things like that that's going to make his case for the greatest player ever unimpeachable. It's almost better he doesn't win MVP this year. He will get his 11th top.
Congratulations on not winning MVP.
It's better that he doesn't win MVP.
Well,
and his case is unimpeachable.
This
is just magic.
Time now. Put a grade on it. Sponsored by Untucked.
It's
just designed to be worn untucked.
It's accurate.
So Zion went off for 35 points, but it was in a losing effort, not to be lost in this game with all the LeBron talk. Nick, put a grade on Zion's night.
Speaks to his greatness. I actually didn't think he was, by his standards, amazing. He had some bad turnovers
career
late.
High.
He had
six turnovers.
The fact that he can score 35 on just 16 shots, and I watch it and say, could have been a little bit better. I'll give him an A-. I mean, this speaks to how brilliant and dominant he's been. Career high 35 points on 75% shooting. And Vinny, I don't know if you agree. I thought he could have been a little bit better, particularly late when he had the ball taken from him a couple times.
Yeah, I'm going to give him just a flat A because you're playing against what Nick believes is to be the best team in basketball on the second out of back-to-back where they wanted to win that game. And yeah, he missed the dunk in the open floor. There was a couple of small plays. But you got to think, he's a teenager and he's doing this against a top defensive team in basketball who was keying on him. Like, they wanted to not only win the game, but they also wanted to stop Zion. And they couldn't stop him. He is such an anomaly as far as greatness in today's game and the way that we see it, because he plays inside out, and not necessarily inside out, inside.
His longest shot was 4 feet.
And you cannot stop him. You can imagine what this game is going to look like when it evolves. But even right now, he's a top 20-ish player in basketball.
No, don't get started with the
numbers. No doubt about it.
This guy's going to be
Zion Williamson. Time now for Drawing a Blank. Here we go. Don't be so surprised. It was a compliment somewhere in there. Julian Edelman was in full recruitment mode over the weekend, taking in a basketball game with Tom Brady, FaceTiming with Brady and Mike Vrabel, even selling shirts for Brady to stay. But, Nick, the person who will have the most influence on Brady's decision is blank.
His wife, Gisele Bündchen. If Tom Brady were a single guy with no kids, no one to worry about, I think Tennessee's got a great chance to land him. I think Tom Brady, doesn't really matter what city he lives in. He's going to play football. He's going to watch film. He's going to stay
money.
In. He's going to He'll make the same money. He's going to eat whatever he eats. He can do that anywhere. But if his wife has been publicly saying she wanted him to walk away years ago, and now he's got to try to sell her on, not only am I not walking away, not only do I want to play next year, but a couple years after that, but I also want us all to move. It's going to have to be somewhere she signs off on. That's why I think L.A. is such an overwhelming favorite. So, I mean, I don't know about other people at the table. I couldn't just tell my wife, hey, we're up and moving. It would be a group decision. And from what I saw in Tom versus Time, I think it's a group decision. So I say Gisele.
Yeah, you are so far off. He's at the point of his career now where he's gonna play for however long he can play, and I think that she understands that, and there's an understanding that after he's done playing, I'm sure she'll have more influence on where they live, but that's not what the situation is now. The person who has the most influence is Bill Belichick, and I think Tom would like to come back to New England. I think Tom wants to see some love from Bill, some love from the organization, and
is that financial, coach?
Well, it's not just financial. I think that the way that Bill handles things is he's gonna see whether or not you're willing to walk away, and he'll see what the market bears and what you can really get, and then he'll come in and make his pitch, and ideally, get it done. And I think Tom ideally would like to stay. He saw it with Josh McDaniels. I mean, Josh went, he was about to leave. They made their pitch at the end and brought him back in.
They were the worst, coach.
What's that?
I used to date guys like that. Oh, wait, see if you're willing to walk away before I come back and apologize and bring you back.
And you kept coming back, didn't you?
And then I didn't. And
then I went to Tennessee.
Over the weekend, Lamar Jackson was asked about
that was funny.
Facing the Chiefs. Lamar said even he hates playing against Patrick Mahomes because he's such a great quarterback. Coach, start with you. The most difficult quarterback to game plan for is blank.
I'm excited to hear this.
It's definitely Lamar Jackson, and I know you desperately want me to say Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick presents a ton of problems, but Lamar is unique in the problems that he presents because it's so different than everything else you face week in and week out. So you've got all these quarterback-driven runs, and the quarterback-driven ones, it messes with the numbers defensively and creating a scheme to stop that. It's not in line with everything else you do.
I love Coach so much, but God, I wish I could live in an alternate universe where Patrick Mahomes' two worst games of his career were his two playoff games, and I sat here next to Coach and said, Patrick Mahomes is the answer, and watched him eviscerate me. The answer is obviously Patrick Mahomes. There's no game plan for him. I'd love to see it. No one has come up with one.
Well, New England had one last year.
New England had one last year and he scored 31 second half points. New England had one this year and they lost. The Texans had one jump out 24-0. They won a 51-7 run. The Titans had one go up, 17-7, and then they go on a run. They were down 20-10 in the Super Bowl and they score.
Who gave you this question?
We
should change.
What's your answer?
What do you mean?
I'm going to agree with Nick. I don't want to walk into this buzzsaw.
But he's wrong. The question is, who's the most difficult to prepare for? I'm not saying that you're necessarily going to have the most success against Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying that he hasn't been incredibly successful this year. However, when you have to try to stop something that you face very rarely and then practice that during the week and get an effective plan against it, it's not easy to do.
Listen, Lamar's incredibly difficult to prepare for. Patrick is impossible to prepare for. He's a test that no one has passed yet. So I'm going to say it's Patrick.
All right. Not only is Joe Burrow expected to go number one in the draft, he's even being compared to Tom Brady. Burrow has already had enough of that comparison, saying he just wants to do his own thing. But, Coach, the quarterback Joe Burrow reminds you of the most is blank.
I'm going back to the guy that I talked about earlier, Bernie Kosar.
Why did Bernie Kosar in this show?
He has to be the most horny.
Here's why. Here's another hometown boy who has a chance to go save a Cleveland franchise. And Bernie, back in the day, embraced that. He aligned things so that he could go to Cleveland and try to do that. And I think Joe Burrow should do the same thing. If you are really a special, unique quarterback and unique talent, it doesn't matter what team you're going to, you're going to have an impact on them that's franchise changing. So embrace your Ohio roots, embrace the Cincinnati Bengals. He should. I'm saying from a opportunity standpoint, these two guys could run
parallel. Does it concern you at all that it doesn't seem like he hasn't? It seems like he's a little ambivalent on the Bengals.
No, I think it's not sexy to go to Cincinnati or to go to one of these other clubs. You'd rather be in a bigger market, but you can be great. You can change markets. You can change franchises, and your brand will be different and unique because of it.
All right, people are going to get mad at me on this one. Put this on the screen, please. A rich man's Andy Dalton. Not just Andy Dalton. Yeah, there we go. A rich man's Andy Dalton. All the things Dalton does well, better. So, I don't think Burrow's a superstar. And I told him that when I saw him at the Super Bowl, and he's still a super nice guy.
You told him that? I don't think you're a superstar.
What did you say?
I did.
Hey, Joe Burrow, Nick Wright. I don't think you're a superstar.
Told him in Spanish.
What did he say back?
We met at the Super Bowl. He said how much he likes the show because of LeBron stuff, and I'm thinking you don't watch it that often So I was like, did you see us after the national championship game? He said no. I said, well, I hope to have a relationship with you, but I got to be honest with you, I'm a little scared of the 1 year wonder stuff, and I don't see.
I don't think you're a superstar.
I told him I think two is better, and his exact response was, I don't care. Everybody thinks
that's different.
I just want to talk LeBron. But regardless, I think he doesn't do anything poorly. My concern is, what does he do great? He's a guy that if Tua weren't in the draft, I'd be fine at taking number one overall. When I think there's a superstar in the draft, I'd want him at number one
wins
overall.
Games.
So, yeah.
Wins games, that's good.
Wins games. It's one. Listen, I'm not here to bleep on Joe Burrow. I just think he's... Andy Dalton has become disrespected in this league. When he was good, he was like the seventh best quarterback in football for a season. I think Joe Burrow one day could be the fifth, sixth best quarterback in football.
Do you always lead with gems like that when you meet somebody?
Yeah. I think it's important.
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to tell you what my...
I think it's important to be transparent with people if you're going to have a good relationship.
The anti-Dale Carnegie right there.
Or take your pick. So James Harden and Giannis Antetokounmpo have been joined back and forth a bit since the All-Star break. Giannis said, Harden doesn't pass. Harden said, it takes no skill to be 7 feet and dunk. So which player has the better skill set? Nick, take your pick.
It's like picking amongst my children, not my actual children like Luca, but I love Harden. I think I'm probably Harden's biggest advocate in the national media, and Giannis is my pick the last 2.5 years to be league MVP. I'm going to say Harden, though. Harden, Giannis has skill. Harden has a skill set that is unique to him amongst all players that I've ever seen. He is as good of an isolation player as the league's ever seen. What he has done as far as perfecting that step back three to where it's an unguardable shot, you just have to hope he's off, to go along with elite ball handling and elite passing, Harden, to me, has more skill. That means he's a better player, but he does have more skill than Giannis.
As usual, Nick, you're not incorrect, but you're just incomplete.
Uh-huh.
Giannis can do more as far as basketball skill, basketball things you can do inside of a basketball game. Harden has a perfected skill. Giannis has a more perfected skill set where he can do more things defensively. Just his natural athleticism, his length enables him to do different things that James Harden just isn't able to do. It's no shade to Harden. It's not me hating on Harden.
It is.
Just Nick?
Because like, as is very often the case with you, you say things that sound good, but they're wrong. Who's the better dribbler? Harden. Who's the better passer? Harden. Who's the better shooter? Harden. So if you're saying Giannis is the better defender, agreed.
Rebounder.
Giannis is a better rebounder.
Who's better at running the floor, making the game easier
running
for other people?
Running the floor, making the game.
Making the game easier for somebody else.
You're about to say score, and then you're like, oh, I can't making go there because Harden averages 35.
Yeah, but if James Harden isn't making those step back threes, he's kind of useless, as we see in the playoffs.
He's not making the step back threes.
All right, well,
Nick's right. Sorry, Ben.
Yeah, of course I'm right.
You had to see him every day. That's fine.
I know, but he's right, too.
Of course
that's
right.
Fine.
Zion Williamson had himself a game last night, a career-high 35 points and a close one against the Lakers. He's making his case to catch Ja Morant in the Rookie of the Year race. So who is more deserving of the Rookie of the Year? Vince, take your pick.
I would say as of this moment, it's Ja Morant. But if the New Orleans Pelicans make the playoffs, I would take Zion playing 35 games with the numbers that he has, because he's lifted his team to the postseason.
But your vote right now is for Ja.
But guess what? I don't vote on March the 2nd. I vote on April 15th.
Well, I don't vote at all because it's a sham that I don't have a vote. Not that I've ever mentioned that before. I can't believe I'm saying this. I swore I wasn't going to say this. It's Zion.
Wow.
It's Zion.
That Zion come up in the meeting.
Sometimes you just say, you know what? I'm going to throw out history. I'm going to throw out the precedent. And who are we going to remember this season for as the rookies? Zion. Without any shade of doubt. He's had 35 points, and I think he played great. Since he had his one bad game of his career, he's giving you 28 a night on 63% shooting, and the Pelicans have been a dangerous team.
Even if they don't make the playoffs.
Team. I think that they're, I think
they have to make the playoffs. They,
no, you're saying Zion doesn't need to make the playoffs.
I don't think they need to make the playoffs for me to feel like Zion's been the best rookie this year. For him to have any chance of winning it, they have to make the playoffs and then some.
America, you know who Nick Wright's imaginary vote is going to.
Yeah, well, at this moment, yes, you do. It's Zion, my imaginary vote. Why don't I have a vote? League office, who do I talk to, Ben?
There's no one that I would ever campaign for you to talk to.
I think yelling is going to get it done. I'm almost
positive.
All right,
here's something you can't vote on. The reason Zion came up short last night, this guy, LeBron James, 34, 12, and 13. After the game, Alvin Gentry said he's amazed people talk about anybody other than LeBron for MVP. So got us thinking, who is more deserving of the award, LeBron or Giannis?
You have an MVP vote? Just
I have no votes. I have no votes.
You don't have an MVP vote either.
I have no votes.
Then do you?
He has all the votes. I have none of the votes.
Why are we going to Nick first?
Listen, the only upside to me not having a vote is I'm allowed to gamble on these awards. Before the year, I did bet on Giannis.
Silver lining.
Listen, LeBron James should have 7 league MVPs. He should have won in 2011 when Vinny and some other dopes voted for Derrick Rose. Okay. He should have won in 2015 when Steph won it. He should have won in 2017 when Russ won it. And he should have won in 2018 when Harden won it. However, he should not have won last year, obviously, and he should not win this year. Giannis is the MVP.
See how Nick always tilts the arguments toward LeBron whenever there's any doubt?
Said Giannis is the MVP.
Did you not just say Steph shouldn't have won it in 2015 when he hit a 67-win Golden State team?
Yeah, he shouldn't have won it.
Yes, because
it wasn't as good. The LeBron took over a Cavs team that was dead last in the league and took him to the finals. And
And Steph's Golden State team had such a championship pedigree before 2015, right?
Well, they made the second round of the playoffs. They
That means a whole lot. Houston's going to make the second round of the playoffs this year. That doesn't mean anything. Giannis should win the MVP. He's going to win the MVP. It might be unanimous. It should be. If it's not unanimous, it should be damn close.
Oddly, you guys answered the same question, but Vin is more right for some reason.
I'm always more right.
I don't know why.
I'm teaching
you guys both said Giannis.
That's actually
didn't
really
seem
funny.
Like...
That's really funny. All right, one of the most interesting moments of the weekend. Trae Young.
Oh, boy.
So Trae Young goes for the nutmeg. Let's see if we watch this again. Over Trevor on Trevor Ariza.
And then
Ariza has none of it. Gives Trae the forearm shiver. Who do you think is more wrong here? Watch this. Trae or Ariza? Vinny, take your pick.
If Trevor Ariza is wrong, I don't want to be right because I am with him. If you have the right to embarrass me, I have the right to literally knock you on your behind. You can do whatever you have to do to get around me, but if you're going to try to embarrass me, you are going to suffer the consequences. That's just the game. Except the game is the game, man.
By definition, you don't have the right. That's why what Trae did is legal and what Trevor Ariza did is illegal. The answer is
illegal.
Trae Young, it's not like he does that for no reason. It gives him an advantage in the play. He's trying to get
there is a practicality to the showboating.
Of course there's a practicality to it. He's not doing the Professor old and-one mixtape where he's not actually going towards the basket and just making you look dumb. He's trying to get past you. That's the best way to get past you. And Ariza just gets all in his feelings because the young fella embarrassed him. And then after the game, he tries to big boy him, pulls him in close.
Is the nutmeg frowned upon, or is it
no one has ever done it consistently like Trae Young. People have done it, but it's never been a part of their day-to-day.
Like you're saying there's a practicality to it. He didn't have to do it on that one. There's a million ways for you to get around someone.
And do you also have issue with, like, if he passed the ball through someone's legs?
No, I don't.
Would you have an issue when Nate Robinson actually went underneath that guy's
leg? No, here's the thing. If I could do that, I probably would try to do that while also accepting the fact that someone might not like this and will try to knock my 5'10" ass
happened to me
on the ground.
Last month,
that's what I would do. Period.
Happened to you?
Yeah.
Someone walking down the street.
In basketball,
legs.
Moves Galore. His name is. So I was like, Moves. You got
Moves.
His name is Moves Galore. So. I didn't
Legally?
Feel as bad when Moves Galore got
You gotta accept the consequences.
It was fine. I was just there and I was like, looks like Moves got me.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.